You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This interview is brought to you by S&G Grant Thornton Tax Advisory Services. As I said earlier on, we have the privilege of having the Director and Head of Tax Advisory Services from S&G Grant Thornton, Kanyisa Cingo-Ngandu, in studio with us to discuss the breakdown of the midterm budget policy statement. Kanyisa, when we started, we kind of got initial thoughts and expectations out of the way, and you've been listening in on some of the reactions from various parties, including most recently the Commissioner at the South African Revenue Services. And for me, when I was listening to the speech being delivered, 22 cents on the rand goes to debt servicing costs. That's a scary number.
That is a scary number.
It was scary in February. It's even scarier now.
Yeah.
How do we even begin to grapple with a 6 trillion rand debt level that puts us at 75.5% debt to GDP, and that from whether we're looking at it from a debt ceiling perspective, from a tax perspective, however you want to cut up that number, it's a significant number that's hampering South Africa's ability to actually grow.
It is a significant number. I think what's often missing when we're talking about the debt to GDP ratio is, what was that money used for? When can we expect a return on investment to deal exactly with some of the issues that both the minister and the SARS commissioner touched on, that we need the economy to grow?
And that's something you and I spoke about, Kanye, before we were on air, around the fact that we have kind of expectations, and for some people we shouldn't have expectations. You should moderate those expectations, and that's kind of been the response, right, from a lot of the analysts. A lot of the sentiment around it was, it was a tight budget, we appreciate that, but it could have been better. It could have had a little more something to it. And when you sit from a tax perspective, historically, we've never expected any tax announcements. We've never expected anything outstanding or outrageous to come out of the MTBPS. But what we're also not expecting is lower revenue collections. We're not expecting that shortfall that the SARS commissioner just alluded to.
So, I mean, if the economy hasn't grown, that there usually will be a shortfall in revenue collections. What scares me, though, is in the recent past, when recent years, every time when there's a shortfall in revenue collections because the economy did not grow, the laborers or the people that get the wage suffer, because a couple of years back, what we would have is, during the February budget speech, we would have the tables, the brackets being adjusted to take into account inflation. But since the economy has not been growing at the right levels, then what we get is either just a small adjustment or no adjustment at all, which essentially means then individuals are paying more tax, because the minister, or was it the commissioner who touched, commissioner touched on, the wage grew by lower than expected by 5%. So then you have people that from the last cycle are paying tax at their old inflationary rates. Their wages for the current period did not grow. They grew by 5%, not as high as the assumptions for the revenue collections had stipulated. So I think that that is a concern, that then next year, the pressure that everyone is talking about, should we be concerned, or should individuals be concerned, that if you make money true and you earn a wage, should you be worried now that you will be expected to pay more taxes because there's a shortfall in the revenue collection?
And that was something the minister alluded to, saying there will be serious implications come the budget. And you and I touched on that briefly a little earlier, to say that, what are those implications? What do they look like? And historically, we've always seen the default is to say, okay, we just increase taxes, right? We did it with corporate tax. We did it with VAT. Why not do it? At some point, we did it with personal income tax as well, when the tax brackets were moved around and everything. So historically, that's kind of been the approach, to just say that. But obviously, with a shrinking tax base, that becomes unsustainable. You get to a point where you cross a Rubicon, it no longer makes sense to still be increasing taxes. And this time, for the first time, the minister is saying we are moving from consumption to capital investment. How does that positively set us up to potentially collect more taxes, to widen the tax base, to improve the current situation?
That takes us back to the conversation we had off here, right, where I was saying a lot of the conversations talk about us moving back to a state of great years. But that state, even in that state, a lot of people were not working. A lot of people were not part of the, we still had the same complaints that we have too few taxpayers. If we're talking about personal income tax, of course, not counting VAT, because everyone pays VAT. Whatever the current plan that we are on is going to take us, even if we grow really well, it's going to take us to a state where many that are in the middle class will enjoy their lives a little bit. But it does not necessarily unlock or add more to the middle class or add more people who are working who then pay more taxes. I think on the comment on the potential increase in taxes, the government has not increase corporate income tax because business is better organized. So businesses, people like myself and other people from other that would generally submit comments, and they will push against any potential increase in corporate income tax, because it is seen as you have an economy now that is not growing, you need to attract investments, you need to look at where the average tax rate is from an OECD perspective or from a global perspective. So you can't go beyond that. The person that always suffers in South Africa where there is poor revenue collections would be individuals, and not wealthy individuals. It would be middle class, people who work for a wage, because wealthy people, your tax is fixed at 20%. I think part of that as well, I mean, if you're looking at dividends, your returns are generally taxed at a lower rate. And another part of it is wealthy people are better organized. But from a middle class person, we not as organized. So when government needs additional revenue, then they target the middle class. So either they will adjust upwards, or they will say we won't adjust for inflation, which I think the last cycle was celebrated. But essentially what that meant was we were all paying more tax.
You mentioned something quite important, saying that those that are impacted the most and those that suffer the most for these decisions are not the bigger businesses, not the municipalities, but the individuals on the lower end of the spectrum. And I found it interesting in the speech that the minister delivered today, he said on the matter of the municipal debt relief that was for Eskom.
Yeah.
He said, we implore provincial and national departments owing municipalities to pay their dues. Now, when I listened to that being said, I thought that could have been an opportunity for the minister to take a harder stance on municipalities that have not been paying their debts. Because the reality is that becomes our problem as citizens when the state has to take on Eskom's debt balance and debt book onto their own balance sheet. That is a big problem from that perspective, because it might lead to more borrowing, which might lead to more interest on borrowings, which repeats the cycle. But shouldn't that have been an opportunity for the minister to come out with a bit of a firmer hand towards the municipalities that are not abiding by this relief that they were so desperate for?
What could have been even better is if he said, this is what we are doing about the municipalities that are not. So not talk about what can be done, that will be tougher. But it's all government, like it's local government. They owe another state-owned entity. So there should be a better way of resolving whatever the challenge is. If the current plan is not working, what is the best solution that, like you say, does not end up resulting in a situation where then those who work for their money, the laborers, must pay additional tax because government is not managing government affairs between local and state-owned entities.
Government must pay government for the services government rendered to government.
To government, yes. So
it all gets very technical somewhere along the line. Yeah. Kanye, I want to look at what are the last aspects. In fact, the last point that the minister spoke about before ending off the midterm budget policy statement. And I suppose there was no way of getting through the conversation and such a big speech for this time of the year without discussing the grey listing, the elephant in the room, the catalyst to solving a lot of the problems. The grey listing, we've addressed now 16 out of the 22 actions, and you and I were touching on briefly about the fact that the state has outlined priorities, but are they prioritizing the priorities?
It doesn't sound like it. I think because every time when the minister is speaking to us, whether it's during the midterm or during the main budget, we're still working on it. We're still working on it. It's a work in progress. So I think that doesn't sound like it really is a priority, but it may very well be. But there are other challenges. But I think if we are where we are now and we need that resolved, it should be resolved. It should be prioritized and it should be out of the way. And we face with different challenges because I think even before the grey listing, we had other challenges in the economy. So that's not the only challenge. Even if that's resolved, you will still have some of the challenges that may mean we're not growing at the right rate.
Hmm. Kanye, what are your overall thoughts and your overall assessment of the budget? If you had to rate the budget 1 out of 10, I kind of have my rating and I'll share my rating after I get yours. What is your overall just one number and why that number?
Okay. I will say it's a 10. I will tell you why. I know it doesn't match. I will tell you why.
Out of 10.
Because remember, I said I didn't have high expectations.
That's fair.
So from my understanding of the government's policy and what SARS is doing, everything is aligned. The government has been talking about Operation Vulindlela. That's what they've done. We know the economy hasn't grown. So he couldn't go there and say the economy has grown. That would have been now a 1. So he said the economy hasn't grown. He said we're revising it downwards. That is exactly what it is. And we're talking now that government says we have these priorities, we want to address A, B, C, and D, but they haven't addressed it for the past 4 years. So I wasn't expecting now that this round he's going to say, now we've addressed this. So I wasn't surprised. So that's why I'm saying for me, given government's policy, given the history and how we got to where we are, it makes sense that you've got a government minister saying we have a problem with local government. And that is not something that we should necessarily cheer for because that should be resolved because that is a problem. So that's why I'm saying for me, it's a 10 out of 10. It is what I expected. And I have a lot of respect for the people at National Treasury, a lot of respect for the people at SARS. They have done what they can. I think SARS has been pushing a lot harder on enforcement because if you're not collecting revenue from true economic growth and you're not changing tax laws to have additional taxes, then the other way is just be a bit tough on the enforcement end. So I think there as well, they're doing a great job. You have a lot of people who have additional tax bills. Some of them are not necessarily fair, but that is what they have. And I think with the automation they've done at SARS, they're able to put together a lot of information. We've seen a lot of cases where people have money coming into one bank account and SARS picks it up from that one bank account and you transfer that money to your own other bank account. And then SARS assesses you on the other money that is coming to the other bank account as though it's new revenue. So you can see that they are doing all they can to close the gap, to bridge the gap. And they're doing a great job trying to collect revenues. But the problem is not the actual collection of revenues. The problem is, do we have the right environment for growth? Do we have the right systems for growth? When everyone is talking about, are we investing in factories? What factories? What does a factory require in today's climate? What are other countries doing? And when we're investing in factories, are we talking about investing in the right factories so that we can do away with the problem? And where are those factories going to be? Are they going to be in Sikisiki, for example, where I'm from? Are they going to be in Joburg or in P? Are they addressing issues of people who used to work now have not worked? What about people who haven't worked the past 20 years? So I think there's a I was not expecting that from the medium term we would get answers to the broader challenges that we need resolved for us to have a South Africa that works for everyone. Those who are making money and want to make more money are making a lot more money. And those who currently are not making money are also making money, which just works for everyone.
That certainly changes my perspective on it, because we spoke about this and I said that I felt like it was a bit of a flat budget, but perhaps, just maybe, I had my expectations a little too high, and maybe that's why I felt that it disappointed ever so slightly. But thank you so much, Kanyisa, for joining me. That was Kanyisa Qingongandu, who is the Director and Head for Tax Advisory Services at SNG Grant Thornton, joining us to reflect on the budget speech, share her thoughts around the budget speech, and give her overall view on how the budget or the midterm budget policy statement was delivered. This interview was brought to you by SNG Grant Thornton Tax Advisory Services.
Computex, your automated tax calculator. Experience seamless tax management with Computex, an advanced calculator for effortless current and deferred tax calculations. Integrated with tax legislation and IAS 12, it's perfect for all businesses. Acting as a smart AI companion with self-learning capabilities for accurate tax treatment. Boost your tax team's productivity with Computex. Efficiency redefined. Sign up now for a free 15-day trial by emailing tax.info@sng.gt.com.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.